Hello, it's Thursday, October 27th, and you're listening to Wing TV and MP3. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Well, it's Thursday. Harriet Myers is withdrawn. What do you think of that?
I think she couldn't take it. Well, she didn't want to divulge her past advice as legal counsel for the president.
Yeah, that's the
supposedly,
cover story.
Yeah.
The way I see it is this is just another way for them to keep just everybody bound up in kind of a whirlwind. And what we have now is with Myers is the conservatives were very much against her, and the Democrats just seemed to kind of take a wait-and-see attitude. So everybody was angered at George Bush for nominating Myers. Now what's going to happen is to compensate for them, he's going to probably nominate someone that's much further to the right. So then the conservatives will be happy, then the Democrats.
But you know what? Either way, we're just going to get another ding-dong.
Yeah, and what it is, it reminds me of professional wrestling. You know, when Hulk Hogan comes out, in one episode he's a good guy, then the next week he turns into a bad guy, then he's back into a good guy again. And that's the way it is they just keep people so wrapped up in this little drama that one week the conservatives hate Bush, the next they love him, and the Democrats hate him, then love him, and, I don't think they'll ever love him. But it's just this big, tangled-up mess that it's unbelievable.
Well, it's not surprising, though, is it?
No. I mean, this is just par for the course. Like I say, this is the drama.
Right. Some more good news. Vice President Cheney is aggressively pursuing an unprecedented initiative for an elected official of the executive branch. What is that? He wants to make it legal for the CIA to torture people. You know, the stuff they've been doing all these years, all along. He wants the CIA to be allowed to use degrading, inhuman, and cruel treatment of prisoners. Now, remember, the CIA is holding an unknown number of prisoners in secret prisons abroad, and basically these people have just disappeared. They're not being allowed to have their names registered with the International Red Cross, and they're not allowed visits by inspectors, so God only knows what's happening to these people.
Well, why do they even need an initiative? They've been doing this since the 1970s at least, and much further back when you got the Phoenix Project in Vietnam, so this is just more nonsense.
Just to let you know that your vice president approves of torture. He's an advocate of torture, and now it really makes it kind of a lot easier to believe Kathy O'Brien in Transformation of America, because she portrayed him as being extremely cruel.
Well, speaking of indictments, speaking of Dick Cheney, we still don't have any indictments yet. This is another one of the dramas that's being played out right to the very end. And tomorrow is the last day for this special counsel. Now, of course, they can renew it or have an extension for it. Mm-hmm. But it's really weird, Lisa, at the end of July, early August, I hope everybody remembers this article that was floating around. It said, Bush, Cheney, indicted.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Victor, because I just got an email today, and it was copied and pasted, I guess, from something from Cloak and Dagger, Lenny Bloom and Sherman Skolnick's little website over there. And it said, corks are popping at Cloak and Dagger. I guess they're celebrating, and they're going to be celebrating with fiction writer Tom Hennigan. And I guess they're celebrating because they must have crafted a new piece of fiction.
Yeah, I mean, when this story originally came out from the Sensationalist, it said Bush and Cheney indicted. It didn't say to be indicted or indicted in the future, indicted. Then they changed it to say, they're going to be. Then it's 22 people to be indicted, and their story changes every day. So, you know, if I say that the sun's going to come up tomorrow, it's going to come up tomorrow. Or if I say it's going to rain tomorrow, the next day, at some point it's going to rain, and I can say, see, I told you I was right. So whether, you know, but remember, as much BS as they put out, their initial first story said, Bush, Cheney, indicted.
Right. Now, there's a big difference between already indicted and not yet indicted.
Right.
But apparently they don't make that distinction, so you need to be very discerning. And I don't know what there is to celebrate over at Cloak and Dagger, except that they're quite good, masterful at creating fiction and political gossip.
Right. Now, Mike Rupert sent around an email yesterday. If everyone remembers, last week we wrote an article that said Mike was it, Mike Rupert's panhandling scam, where he came out and said he needed money to move, he needed money to produce his new DVD, he was begging, he had the tin cup up. According to Rupert, and as Lisa said yesterday, this guy lies so much, and I agree with her, that he's a pathological liar. Who knows what's true? But in his email, he said that he received $60,000.
I have one word to say. Suckers.
Suckers. Now, who knows if he actually received that much, but when you're in bed with big oil, it doesn't take a lot of these people to lay a few dollars in his coffers. And,
I guess now he's received enough to make his move and move his employees and all their families and everything else.
Yeah. Now, just think if you're a person that's making $15 an hour. That means that your yearly income would be $30,000 a year. If this is true, what Rupert said, he just earned a two-year salary of what a regular, everyday, hardworking American citizen would do by all of the suckers out there, plus being a government operative, that there's always going to be money peddled his way. So
And make sure you remember, if you gave money to Mike Rupert, make sure you remember this, because in the future, Hillary Clinton plans to hike gas prices, okay? She plans on socking oil companies with $20 billion in new fees to fund research, and this is going to shoot costs through the roof, and guess who ultimately will be responsible to pay these costs? You, the consumer. So if you gave Mike Rupert free money from the cash cow, you are definitely a sucker.
Yeah, you might as well have just given it to Big Oil. And speaking of Big Oil, it was announced today that ExxonMobil, the biggest energy company in the world, their profits for the third quarter, that's just for 3 months, the last 3 months, their profits were $9.9 billion. That was an increase of 75% since last year at the same time. And there was another oil company yesterday, I can't remember which one, but their profits for the third quarter of 2005 rose 89%. So, give your money to Big Oil, give it to Mike Rupert, give it to Hillary Clinton, but no, every one of these people we just mentioned is laughing their asses off at you and saying, sucker, all the way to the bank. It's unbelievable.
Apparently, the New York Times is in talks with Judith Miller. Remember, she's a 28-year veteran reporter for the New York Times. She's the one who wrote the bogus articles about weapons of mass destruction that subsequently led to us being in a bogus war with Iraq. Well, they are talking with her about her possible, her future employment status with the New York Times. They're even maybe talking about a severance package. Hello, she wrote bogus articles. Why don't you just fire her?
Yeah.
She's on vacation right now, but what they wanted to see, right now they're paying her legal bills as her employer. So if she wasn't employed with them any longer, they wouldn't be responsible to pay for her legal bills, which apparently are mounting.
Well, she's in bed with this entity called the Iraq Defense Group, and this is all the neocons. What happened was she was getting fed information that was supportive of the war.
Mm-hmm.
Then she was feeding it to the New York Times. The New York Times was running it. And,
Now they're distancing themselves from her and the stories, and they said that they weren't informed of the circumstances surrounding those or of her relationship, association with Libby.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm not convinced that they weren't aware of what was going on. We got some emails about a recent interview that Alex Jones did with Scott Ritter. Everyone knows Scott Ritter is the UN envoy who went in and discovered that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Also, though, Scott Ritter had a little bit of trouble in his past, or at least allegedly he did.
Mm-hmm.
But one of our emailers said that during this entire interview, not once did Alex Jones ask Ritter about 9/11. The reason why is that Scott Ritter supports the government's official version of 9/11, and to us here at Wing TV, that's the litmus test. If you either support the government's version or you don't. If you do support it, then we take everything that they say with a grain of salt. Also, someone else said that there was a caller into the Jones show to ask Ritter about some accusations against him, and I won't get into what they are, but immediately Alex Jones cut the caller off and said he wasn't going to discuss this nonsense. Well, the caller didn't even have a chance to bring up what he wanted to discuss before Alex Jones protected him and hung up on the collar. So yet again, here's Alex Jones sticking up for someone, just like he does for Art Bell, that supports the government's official version of 9/11. The more we hear about Alex Jones, the more absolutely disgusted we are that anyone believes a word this guy says.
If anybody believes that Alex Jones is a patriot, then you're even more of a sucker than the people who gave Rupert money.
That's right. Now, on to, we keep getting feedback about John Stapmiller and what happened at RBN with the firing of Peter Schenck. And someone said to us, they said, where is your story on the sudden firing of Peter Schenck? They said, we're going to be keeping an eye on you to see where you come down on this. For some reason, people think that we protect John Stapmiller, that we have an affiliation with John Stapmiller. Nothing could be further from the truth.
We don't have anything to do with John Stapmiller. We've been on his show
once or twice. And appeared on his network on other people's shows. Right. But here's where we officially stand on this. It was absolutely wrong for Stapmiller to fire Peter Schenck. And as I was telling Lisa last night, is that if we can't discuss certain taboo subjects or have certain controversial guests on in the alternative media, then there is no place else. There is no more freedom of speech. This is the end of the line.
We also have been accused of doing the wrong thing just because we interviewed someone that one of our viewers or listeners didn't like or agree with. Just because a person interviews someone on their show does not mean they subscribe to their beliefs and or aligns with their beliefs. And I don't think that Stapmiller had a right to punish the host for the comments made by his guest.
Right.
Also, Thomas Holbrook, who's a 9/11 researcher, just emailed me a few minutes ago. He put in a call to John Stapmiller over there at RBN and asked about Peter Schenck. He asked, Stapmiller asked Thomas why he was owed an explanation, and Holbrook tried to inform him he's trying to get both sides of the story as an independent journalist. Stapmiller's reply was, print what you will. I will not turn this into a high school debate. And then, of course, John Stapmiller slammed the phone down. Holbrook says this does not bode well for RBN, and I would happen to agree with him. Also, I want to let you know that Peter Schenck is going to be on our show on Monday, and he is back on the air at TurnerRadioNetwork.com. He's going to be broadcasting from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, good for you, Peter.
That's right. And speaking of interviews, tomorrow we're going to run a text. Or, no, not a text. It's an overview or a commentary on the worst interview that's ever been done on Patriot Radio. Now, we're not going to give you any more details other than that. But certain interviewers or certain hosts in this Patriot Radio are plummeting to such lowly depths that once you read this article, you're just going to scratch your head and say, how did we get to this point? This is worse than the stuff that Larry King's doing, and he's as softball as they come in the mainstream. It's just unbelievable. So it's entitled The Worst Interview Ever. We're going to run it as a lead article tomorrow. Also, Lisa forwarded an article to me that Eric Hauschmidt wrote about infiltration of the 9/11 truth movement. And see, we're not the only ones who are noticing this stuff. And also our lead article today is how the OKBIC, the group that's supposedly studying the Oklahoma City bombing, has been corrupted.
Supposedly is trying to expose the truth about the Oklahoma City bombing, yet they're not.
Right. So this is text from an interview that we did a couple months ago, and it's very damning of especially one person, Charles Key, who I think is the one that's the primary culprit.
But,
and it's corruption.
You know, enablers.
That's right.
Are also guilty. It isn't just the head guy. It's all the people around the head guy that enable a cover-up to perpetuate. So they're just as guilty.
Right. Now, Lisa, tell everyone about a phone call we received Monday night at what, 9:20?
9:23 p.m. Monday night, this past Monday, while we were watching a movie. A man called and left a message on our machine, and we didn't pick up because nothing interrupts Monday night movie night for anything. Anyway, so I listened to the message after, and it's the man said this. He said, Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani, we met you. We met you at Ground Zero, and you ran a story about Ground Zero the very next day. He says, well, we have a videotape that will bury that story. And you better retract the article that you wrote and the version of events that's portrayed on your website very quickly, or you will face a libel suit. And he said, see you both next year at Ground Zero. God bless you. Well, he did not identify himself, and his tone was not only dripping with sarcasm, it was pretty menacing. And we were going to record that onto our computer, but the next day, Tuesday, we had a snowstorm and lost power temporarily, which wiped out all the messages on our machine, and we had to reset all our clocks, too.
Right. Now, this is reminiscent of Paul Isaac when he called the American Free Press after the American Free Press ran my article.
A few weeks ago.
They ran my article as the lead article on the front page about this gag order on the New York Fire Department, and also how Isaac told us at Ground Zero that all of the firemen and police officers were aware of what really happened on 9/11. He said to Christopher Pethrick, who's the editor of the AFP, that they had a videotape that would dispute what we wrote.
Well, Pethrick told him to cough up the videotape, and we say the same thing, cough up the videotape.
Right. Also, we invite Paul Isaac onto this show. If he has anything to say, we would love to have him on this show and recount what he told us there and also his behavior.
That's right. And I categorically maintain that Paul Isaac said the very things that we put in our article. Absolutely. And I will take any test. You can inject me with truth serum. I'll take a polygraph test. I'll swear under oath. I'll look Paul Isaac dead in the eyes like I did at Ground Zero. And I will tell him he's a liar if he says he didn't say those things.
That's right.
And he was also heard by Vincent Sammartino saying the very same things to people at Ground Zero who were grabbing our flyers and the DVDs.
That's right. And if anybody wants to read these articles, I think the American Free Press one is on the homepage. If you go to the archives, you can read the one about Paul Isaac.
So we suggest if they're going to cough up a videotape, they should do that because we are not retracting or removing that article whatsoever. And if they want to serve us with a libel suit, I suggest that an anonymous phone call late at night is not the way to do it. That's usually done by certified letter via the postal mail. Also, I *69 and got the phone number for that call, and I did call that number, and a woman answered, and we're still working out who might have used that phone on Monday night.
So we'll give you more details tomorrow.
The service to the area in question is in New York. The call was made from New York, either Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, or Staten Island, and that service is handled by a group called Teleport Communications Group out of Staten Island, and they are heavily involved in government work, according to their own website. So this is pretty interesting.
Yes, it is. Now, on George Norrie's radio show this morning, he had a guest on named Jerome Corsi. Anyone that doesn't know, Jerome Corsi is a big Zionist, a big neocon, and they started talking about what the Ayatollah, the new president of Iran, said yesterday. Anyone that isn't aware of this, he basically said that Iran, or that Israel, should be wiped off the face of the map. That they should be wiped off the face of the earth. Now, this makes the world a much more dangerous place. As we saw today, Israel is reacting to a suicide bomber yesterday by dropping bombs on the West Bank. People are calling it an overreaction. But this Jerome Corsi, this is right at the end of the show this morning, he said that Israel is going to launch a strike against Iran in 2006. He said next year. He said they haven't set the date yet. When Norrie asked him what side Russia is going to take in this, he said Russia is going to side with Syria and Iran. And he recounted again how the president of Iran said that Israel should be wiped off the face of the planet. Norrie then said, is this going to be conventional strikes or nuclear? And Jerome Corsi, the neocon, said that it could be 10 to 20 sites simultaneously, possibly nuclear, and he said they're going to set the date for 2006.
It wouldn't surprise me if Israel launched a nuclear strike. Does it surprise you? Do you have any reason to believe that Israel would not strike a target using whatever means available to them?
You know what I think is you have Iran is equally as bad as Israel with this kind of rhetoric. You have such a disaster over there that if we want any type of peace in the Middle East, what you have to do is get all the nuclear weapons out of the Middle East.
The question is, if Israel launches a nuclear strike, are they going to become part of the rogue nation
No.
You know, the terrorist nations that our president likes to talk about and criticize?
Well, what this starts is officially it starts World War III then. Mm-hmm. You're going to have Russia siding with Syria, Iran. You're going to have the wild card, China.
I think we've already been engaged in World War III. They just haven't officially announced that yet.
Well, yeah, they haven't escalated to the next level, I guess. But with this kind of rhetoric over there, I mean, we absolutely cannot let Iran get nuclear weapons. And the ones that Israel already has should be debilitated and removed as quickly as possible. Because right now, we're sitting on a smoking time bomb over there. And it's a disaster. A nuclear disaster waiting to happen.
As if we don't have enough to worry about with our own government.
Yeah.
And just so you know, Newsmax is calling Hillary Clinton 2008 presidential candidate. Now, maybe you haven't heard her come out publicly announcing this yet, but this is what she's being called.
It's like it's already over and done.
Presidential candidate.
Yeah. And I've noticed other conservative commentators basically saying, like, well, she's going to be the president in 2008, and they're almost saying it with a glee, because even though they don't like her, they know that now their show will have a purpose again, a renewed purpose, so they can start attacking Hillary, because right now, they're just tired. I mean, they have this worn-out old George Bush in there. All the Republicans are beaten down. They look like hell, and their shows are getting flat. Clear Channel's profits are way off. What they need is this renewed energy to get Hillary. It's almost like they want it to happen.
I think it's going to take nothing short of an act of God to keep her out of the White House at this point.
Let's hope God's on our side, because we're going to do everything humanly possible.
Yeah, God, if you're listening, step right on in anytime you're ready.
We can't let this daughter of the devil into that Oval Office. Finally, I was just thinking about the Muslim world and all this. And we recently sent a copy of our book, 9/11 on Trial, to a Muslim newspaper that somebody subscribed to us. They got our name and subscribed us to it. So we sent them this book
to review. And we sent it also to the Muslim Society in New York City.
Yeah. And being that they know now what happened with 9/11, where is the Muslim world? I mean, like, thousands and tens and thousands of their people are being killed. They're the scapegoat of the world. Yet the Muslim leaders of the world won't come out publicly in a big way and say 9/11 wasn't done by 19 Arab cave dwellers. It was done by a cabal within the United States government. Why won't they say that?
They're saying it in the communities here in America, but they're saying it to one another.
Yeah, they need to
step up. I think they're reticent because they're in the minority. I mean, they're still the majority of America thinks the Arabs did it. On 9/11.
But why won't, if we can come out and say it, and other 9/11 researchers can say it, what I think, and this is my opinion, Lisa, is I think that the Muslim world is in cahoots with the Christian world. I don't think there's any enmity between any of them. I think that this whole thing, just like supposedly the communists are against the capitalists, when we all know historically they've always been in bed together, I think all of these world religions are just like a world organized crime syndicate. They're all in bed together.
Why do you think that the Muslims are in bed with the other?
Because they're not coming out and speaking out.
Well, they might be just afraid to do so. I mean, they're not exactly the favored sons and daughters in this country.
Well, then if they're afraid, then in my opinion, they're getting, at least in a strange sense, what they deserve. Why don't they come out in a big way? The presidents are the leaders of all these Muslim countries. They don't have to be standing on American soil, wherever they are. Come right out at a press conference.
If there are any Muslim viewers in the audience, or listeners, as it would be, in the audience that would like to come on Wing TV and discuss these issues, we'd be very happy to have you and give you a forum.
Yeah, I mean, why isn't the Muslim world speaking out? Where are they? Where are they? It's been 4 years now. They've taken the blame for this, and we know that it wasn't 19 cave dwellers.
And you want to know, it's really telling when you have one guy, Morgan Reynolds, coming from the government telling the truth. Everybody likes to rah, rah, rah behind Ron Paul and Cynthia McKinney.
Yeah.
I would rah, rah, rah behind Ron Paul and Cynthia McKinney if they would tell the truth about 9/11.
Absolutely.
But they're not.
We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. We're going to have our worst interview ever.
It wasn't our
interview, but we're going to discuss that and whatever else. Maybe the indictments will come down tomorrow, and there's so much going on in the world. So until then, keep your eyes open. We'll be back tomorrow.
See you then.